Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Well, today's gospel is about the great banquet. And to put this passage in context, let's look at a little bit before the actual gospel. Christ has been invited to the lead Pharisee in the town, I'm not sure what town it is, and he's invited all the best guests. And Jesus said, I think I want to give you a little bit of etiquette of God's banquets. He said, don't go out in town and invite all the well-to-do people who you think are going to repay you. He says instead in verses 12 and 13, but when you give a banquet, invite the crippled, the lame, the poor, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Then we pick up with the young fellow responding, said, blessed is the man who will eat the feast of the kingdom of God. Almost an aha and an amen to what Jesus said in terms of the resurrection. Because you see, the Jews thought that when the resurrection came, God was going to throw them a big party. But Jesus said, not so fast. Let's not do that right now. Let me tell you this story about a rich man who planned this big feast or banquet. He sent it to all the best people in town. And because we didn't have text or internet, he had to send a servant out the day before the party to make sure everybody was coming. So a servant went out, found the first guy, and said, oh, man, I am really sorry. I bought some land. I have to go check it out. Well, went on, found a second person. This guy, oh, man, I am sorry, too. I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and, you know, they're pretty cankers. I want to go try them out, you know. And then he ran against a young fella who says, I just got married, and we're going away on our honeymoon, so we won't be there. Really? What do you think of these? Other than our neighbor in the condo complex, would you buy a house or a piece of land without seeing it? Probably not. And if you're buying some oxen, wouldn't you want to go check their teeth and kick a few hoofs before you got on and rode them? And newlyweds, I mean, they're up for parties all the time, right? Now, let's pause a moment. I want a show of hands of anybody who's ever made an excuse for not going to an event or party. Well, come on. Okay, keep your hands up. No, don't put them down. Now, I want to keep your hands up. I want a show of hands of those excuses rivaling what we read in the scripture. Remember, you're in church. Okay, back to the banquet. The master became angry. Nobody would come to the party. So his servant sent a servant. He said, now you go to the seedy parts of town. I want you to invite anybody who would come, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. The servant did just what the master wanted. He looks around, he says, boss, we're only half full. He said, send him out again. Go out to the beyond the village. Call anybody in who will come. And the servant went out to the countryside. Commentaries on this particular section of passage of scripture relates it. It's certainly a metaphor. And Jill, thank you for pointing out that the master is God. And the people who didn't come are the Jews, because they rejected Jesus out of hand. But who did come? You see, Jesus focused on the downtrodden, the prostitutes, tax collectors, the sick and the lame. These are the people who Jews despised because they were unclean. You know, we want to keep arm's length from them. But they are the ones who accepted the invitation, as Jill mentioned. So what does that mean to us in this room? You obviously have accepted God's invitation. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here today, right? So has the invitation stopped? Well, I don't think so. Let's talk about COVID for a minute. COVID invited us to come up with new ideas, didn't it? As bad as it was, thanks to Matt, who develops online streaming, we were all able to worship to an empty sanctuary. We would rather be here in this beautiful setting, but no, we'll provide us a way to worship. Carol's care packages. How many of us, Carol called into service to go to people who may not see anybody for a week or a month? We're the only people they see, plus an additional healthy meal. And yeah, there's Zoom. After a little bit of training, we all got with the tournament, and we're allowed to do Bible study and actually carry on the operation of the church. So there were invitations which we accepted. Now we're coming out of COVID. Are the invitations still around? Yeah, I think they are. Kathleen talked about the sign-ups on the COVID. On a kiosk, pardon me. Are these not invitations? I think they might be. Sprucing up for Nexus. There's a sign calling you, right? We needed books. Creation Care needs new books. There's another invitation. Who would not want to attend the Pit Spitters games, right? And have fun with your friends. You want to assist and attend a block party? That would be a blast. I know last year I was the duck pond manager. That was a blast. And certainly really important, we're invited to spread the word about our new, the vacancy for our new youth minister. Want to help out with and attend Jazz, Jokes, and Jesus? That would also be a helpful invitation. Or maybe you attended training or exploratory small groups. Perhaps you would like to accept that invitation. Spoiler alert, today's the last day, although we might take it a week late if you want to be a group leader. And then we have blood donation coming up August 2nd. Oh, let me not forget, there's always the standing invitation for ushers and communion service. So, join up. You're invited. Don't be shy. Finally, I would be remiss if I did not mention your invitation. The Pastor Nominating Committee and Mission Study Team learned of your top priorities for calling a new minister. You want to invite this person, whoever it may be, to make necessary changes in tract families, to develop and implement a comprehensive strategy to reach new people and incorporate them into the life of the church. You want to develop ministries towards healing those with broken circumstances, create more opportunity for people to turn into meaningful relationships, aka small groups. You want to work to renew and revitalize the community around the church and building coalitions with partners. And finally, provide more opportunities for Christian education and spiritual formation at an early stage. In other words, you, as a congregation, are inviting someone to come and be our pastor, head of staff, and join us in this real world to liven up our party to spread God's word. The Pastor Nominating Committee and Mission Study Committee are working to prepare your invitation. We hope to have that out in August. Please continue to pray that God will bless us with just the right person who will accept our invitation to love as Christ loved and share that love with others locally and around the world. Thank you. And now Barb.
Good morning. I'm Barb Morrison, another one of your ruling elders at this point in time. And Thursday we were given this challenge to help fill in to do the sermon. And I had been in the middle of writing up some of that mission study report and had all sorts of ideas. Do I share this? Do I share that? Think about intergenerational work. Many of the things that have come up. But this morning the Lord spoke to me and said, uh-uh. Why don't you muse a bit on your garden? Now, if we're going to a party very frequently, we have flowers anyway. But I wanted to think a bit more about what it takes to really get this garden going. In front of our lodge, Waldheim, as some of you know, there is a mound of dirt. Well, it's a mound of sand, actually. This mound of sand was what was left when the basement and the boat garage and all of our lower level, when they dug up the sand for that. And in this sand were a lot of pieces of pottery, because on the property had been a hotel which burnt eons ago. And we had fun finding the pottery. So as I dig in the sand, I still find pieces of pottery. Not this big, but I know that it's Niitawanta Hotel property. We had the mound professionally gardened, designed, but after 15, 20 years or something like that, things got a little overgrown. You couldn't see the astilbes because they were behind the daylilies, which were really big. And so 10 years or so ago, I decided that we needed to revamp this garden. And I started with a spade, with a little shovel and a pair of clippers to take out things like cottonwood trees. These are a bugger, because they've got long roots and they keep coming up all over. You can't really stop them. And then I had to decide what were weeds, a weed being anything that we just don't want to have in the garden, even if it flowers, and how to get it. Well, we have little daisies. We have clover. I think I can get this picked up. We have oregano. This is what we like to use, but somebody planted it in the back corner of the garden and it started to take over. So is it a weed now? Kinda. We have sweet peas. These have a gorgeous flower on them, but they are a pain in your garden because they kind of go over everything and start to cover up. They're a pain to get out of your garden as well because they have a taproot, which can be as deep as 18 to 24 inches if you really want to get down to the bottom. Pull off the top and all you do is get more sweet pea in another time. And then there were things that we've planted in the garden, but I've discovered might be more like weeds, like spiderwort. There may be some other names. This thing, it goes everywhere. I don't even know how it gets to some of the places where I find it in the garden. Now it's a weed I'm trying to take out. This was an ornamental ground cover, and it covers the ground real well. But I'm not sure I want all of my garden covered in that. Slowly but surely, I was able to clear small spots of this large mound and began to plant flowers in there. But as I was doing so, oh, here's another one of those flowers that has a long taproot. Slow and steady, and you can get to the bottom of it. But I realized that as I was doing so, I really had to deal with some of the critters who were in the garden as well. So the ants, lots of ants. Ants like sand, anyway. But I have to be careful, particularly near my herb garden, because those ants bite. And so I don't tend to like to work in that part of the garden very often. I look for worms, but I don't always find them. And I know that if we could get the soil a little bit better quality, that we would probably have more worms. Another one of my friends is a toad. I don't know how many years I've been seeing this toad. All of a sudden, he jumps out from underneath a little plant. I saw him early in June. He's, you know, a couple of inches big, but it's always fun to know that he's enjoying my garden as well. And right now, even this morning, I was walking on these little mounds in the garden and in the lawn, caused by chipmunks, big holes, or moles as they dig under the ground. And sometimes they eat our bulbs. And the sad thing in the garden was the fact that the deer, or maybe the rabbits, are eating the buds of my lilies. It's like, I want the flowers. I don't want just the stems. But as I've been working on this garden for over 10 years, I've come up with some different thoughts about what I'm doing. And I've realized that there's some plants, like the daisies, that maybe I want to keep in my garden, wherever they come up. Or this one, and I'm not always good with names, which has some beautiful leaves. They're a lot of fun if you do some tie-dyeing, spraying to get the shapes. But it has a pretty purple flower. And maybe letting it grow, particularly amongst the rocks, is a good thing. Along the roadside, we see many Queen Anne's lace. And for a long time, I thought, that's a flower that we consider a weed. But look how pretty it is. And it's a native grower. So maybe I want to keep that, or at least some of the Queen Anne's lace, in my garden. I have managed to get an herb garden going. And this year, my basil, it smells so good, is growing really well. And so that I know, actually last night we had some of this basil in our salad and on our pasta. The flowers are coming. We do have lilies and coneflowers and lots of butterfly weed. This one I transplanted this up here probably 15 years ago, and it's just growing like crazy. But my plan now for this garden is to invite the butterflies and the hummingbirds to come and enjoy the garden with me. I love being out there working because I can listen to the birds and enjoy the silence, the light breeze, and I try to do it when the garden is shady. But the thing that really brings to my attention when I stand at the kitchen window looking at this garden is the peace pole that was given to my mother for the service that she gave to Presbyterian women in the national office, in national conventions. And I think, as I look at that pole and I see the flowers, how peaceful it is out there and how much I want to have that peace come to all of us. To enjoy the flowers, their smells and their tastes, to feel the peace of God's world and the peace of His love together. And maybe in a quiet way, we're having a party amongst the flowers with our Lord. Amen.